The Path to the Self-Insight. The new meeting with the Keeper of Knowledge and the disciples took place in a beautiful old temple. The ambiance was conducive to soulful conversation. Majestic tall columns made of cool white marble seemed to surround those gathered in the central hall of the building like a protective barrier. Beautiful paintings depicting stories of the past adorned the walls. There were soft blue chairs arranged in a semicircle where the disciples sat, and the chair for the master in the middle. Narrow windows made of white and blue mosaic, resembling Gothic windows, let in scattered light. Voluminous crystal chandeliers hung like cascading waterfalls. There were numerous large and small doors, steps, and corridor spaces in the distance. All of this gave an air of secrecy to the gathering of initiates. Everyone had already assembled and awaited the arrival of the Keeper of Knowledge. When he entered the hall, men and women bowed in reverence, greeting him. The session began. The first to speak that day was Linda, one of the most experienced disciples of the school. The noble color of her long hair, elegantly gathered into a beautiful hairstyle, harmonized with her beautiful facial features and light, elegant dress.
Master, permit me to read a letter from one of our disciples, Alice, in which she shared her insights.
The woman began her speech.
She couldn't be here today herself, as she lives in another city, but she really wanted to convey her words of gratitude to you.
Of course, Linda, I believe it will be beneficial to everyone.
The master allowed. The woman unfolded a white sheet and began to read.
After the darshans, where I stayed for several days, I realized how dependent I am on my desires, that I have no control over myself. Forgive me, Master, that until this moment, I have not entrusted myself to you. I try to control myself, but at the same time, I cannot and have no control over myself. Forgive me, Great One, for wandering through life, unable to manage it, serving my false personalities. Give me one chance, Wise One, to surrender myself to you, to the one who shelters me with his back.
Linda read so inspiringly, with such sincere insight, that everyone felt she also shared the thoughts and feelings of the girl.
Take control of me, take my body and spirit,
the woman continued,
for I am unable to answer for myself. Be my God, for in your hands I will find peace. Let me depend on you, for otherwise I will depend on false personality and imaginary desires.
The hall fell silent. Many were crying. The Keeper of Knowledge allowed the realizations to settle in the minds of the disciples, and, after a pause, spoke.
Alice had an insight. She realized that a person is the result of a convergence of circumstances and implanted insane desires that pull him in different directions, dooming him to a low existence. She understood that if a person listens to him, the Master, he can pull him, her, out of the mud, and then the person has a chance to emerge from the ocean of suffering. This is why the Master appears in his, her life.
People in the hall silently cried at the realization of the greatness of the truth that had just been revealed to them.
Master, may I ask a question now?
Sensing the Keeper's approval, Linda continued.
It often happens that a person feels a yearning of the soul, but when one returns to the world and falls under low influences again, this exalted impulse dissipates. At seminars, people awaken their spiritual part, and then it all fades away again. How can this be resisted? How can we support a person so that he surrenders to your divine guidance, to the guidance of the Master, casting aside other influences?
Yes, Linda, for this, a person must surround themselves with spiritual impressions and remove negative impressions from themselves. It is helpful to limit communication with relatives who do not share your spiritual aspirations, who, with their low energy, create negative impressions that affect us unfavorably. It is not worth watching an empty television and being interested in all sorts of nonsense. Instead, one must...
Unexpectedly, The master tossed the question back to the disciples, looking at them questioningly, awaiting an answer to what one should do instead.
Listen to divine chance.
The gathered disciples answered in unison. The master nodded approvingly at the disciples, and an approving smile appeared on his harmonious face. The topic of the meeting was so profound, and the atmosphere was so reverential. The intimate hall and the acoustics added to it. The keeper of knowledge made a grand gesture, and his favorite music of divine chants poured out of the powerful speakers. The disciples knew what to do. They joined in the song on three centers. The body depicted the plot of the song. Emotions echoed the lively, elevated rhythm. The intellectual center pondered over every word as the lyrics of the song were written in an Orphic stream revealed by one of the disciples after the last darshan, reflecting its content. Faces became blissful and relaxed. Everyone smiled. Many cried from elevated emotions. When the disciples reverently returned to their seats, the keeper, whose eyes shone with love, embraced those present with his subtle energy and, smiling wisely, continued.
You yourself just felt that if a person has many elevated impressions, then their spiritual part will begin to grow. If there are no negative impressions, then their false personalities will start to atrophy because they won't have sustenance. They won't have food. Only in this way can a person develop. By themselves, a person has no will. But if they start following the master, doing what he says, then a huge fortune comes into the disciple's life because the will of the master appears. Then they can go to God.
Michael, modestly dressed, a middle-aged man of average height, sitting to the right of the keeper, seemed still unable to come to himself from the rush of the divine light during the dance, and, slightly interrupting from excitement, softly said,
Master, it seems to me that what Linda just said and what Alice writes, all of these are very sincere states.
The man discreetly wiped away a tear that had gathered in the corner of his eye.
And I want each of us who walk the spiritual path to trust you, Master, to look inside ourselves and try to experience these revelations. And also to contemplate why, even after many years in the school, one does not have total surrender, as if something is missing to fully submit to the influence of the master.
I think it's like the soul's appeal to the master.
The girl sitting next to Michael joined the conversation under the influence of the energy that awakened in her during the dance. Lucia resembled a country beauty, friendly, sincere, like a person who lives in nature. The soft features of her face harmonized with her long, fair braid.
Of course, that's right, Lucia. Everyone should think like that. After all, it means that a person has already realized a lot, understood a lot. You're right, too, Misha. And if someone thinks, oh, I'm so clever, I'll become Napoleon now. It's impossible to help such a person.
The insights bestowed upon the disciples by today's conversation sparked numerous realizations in them, opening up a space of goodness.
Master, you said that one needs to surround oneself with spiritual impressions so that all other personalities atrophy. But we have many spiritual impressions. Help me understand then, how does a person manage to shut oneself off from spiritual impressions and keep all these parts? And this happens even if they are shielded from the influence of society?
A man in the attire of the inner circle of disciples again entered the conversation.
The thing is, Georg, that the biggest impressions a person gets are from his emotions, from his inner dialogue, and sick imagination. Therefore, no matter how much divine chants play in the background, no matter how many spiritual conversations take place, if the voice of the sick society is loudly echoing in one's head, then the person gets negative impressions. And if at the same time one emotionally reacts to it, succumbs to the negativity, then things are very bad.
The disciples laughed at how the master dramatically waved his hands with feigned sympathy. but it didn't diminish the seriousness of the moment. Each one of them felt the murky waves of weak states within themselves. Meanwhile, the master continued.
It's this voice, or some other negative memories and emotions that the person reacts to, that create many more reasons for impressions. The person sees and hears nothing already, just listens to the larvae in their head. Zombie FM, the voice that constantly speaks in them, affects what thoughts arise in them. A person must consciously cling to the right influences, actively listen to divine chants, try to experience bright emotions, remember the words that are sung there. Then they can experience this impression. They need to evoke an emotional response in them. Not like this. Chants play, and the person at that moment contemplates what Zombie FM is broadcasting about it.
So if a person relies on the opinion of ignorant people, if their mind is set on their attitudes, then they cannot receive spiritual impressions? They simply won't hear them, won't perceive them, right?
Georg clarified. Overflowing with energy, the man even stood up from his seat to hear the keeper better.
Yes, exactly. That's why one must deliberately tune into spiritual impressions and push away negative impressions, not listen to the voices of all kinds of larvae and demons.
The keeper of knowledge waved his hands as if shooing away persistent flies, dispersing the emotional tension. Men and women smiled, and Georg, thanking the master, sat back down.
Master, as I understand it, thanks to spiritual impressions, the spiritual personality grows, and then our essence becomes stronger. Is that correct?
A young disciple from the Philology College, who had long wanted to ask a question but hadn't dared, finally raised her hand and spoke up. She was dressed without excess, a strict suit, a fashionable, neat short haircut. In her hands, she held a small notebook in which she wrote down the words of the keeper that touched her to the core.
Of course, Yasmina, it is the essence that experiences elevated emotions. The personality receives impressions when a person reads a book. A person reads that one should love people. This thought comes to them, and they tune into it. But only the essence can love people. The personality itself can only mimic, shouting that it loves everyone. But in reality, inside, a person may feel upset, wondering why they themselves weren't given the last shirt. Nothing more. But the personality can also help to internalize some idea and tune the essence to experience the necessary emotion and enter the corresponding state. Then the result will be achieved. Entering the necessary state, the essence will experience elevated emotions. Then this idea will be internalized by the person and their essence. That's how the process of changing and transforming essence occurs.
After thanking the keeper, Yasmina asked for permission to ask another question.
Of course, Yasmina,
replied the master, seeing that the girl was shy, and sent her energy of love and support.
Great one. You said that the goal of enlightenment at this stage is unrealistic. So, would it be right to set some spiritual goal in order to cultivate a greater spiritual personality, to be more essential?
Yes, for now, your nearest goals are to observe yourself, to study yourself, to be awakened, to experience as many elevated emotions as possible. These goals are clear, and you should strive for them.
Keeper of Knowledge, I've been thinking about this for a while. Can I ask about the continuation of Alice's letter?
A tall, dignified, elderly man stepped forward, rarely speaking up and asking questions. In the past, he was a military man and used to be in charge of command, but here, he listened more and worked on himself. After receiving approval from the Keeper of Knowledge, Akeem continued.
When a person is ignited, opens up to the master, their soul strives for development. They burn emotionally, participate in seminars, and help the school. And it seems that one is a good conductor and has a talent for working with people. But then at some point, this burning flame fades away and an interval appears. Some retreat at this stage and completely fail, Others overcome it and become even closer to the master. They begin to develop at a different level. Why is there such a difference? Both receive elevated impressions, but some deviate from the path, while others remain. How to help a person go through this stage so that he does not stray from the spiritual path?
In striving, Akeem, persistence is necessary. If a person encounters an interval and cannot fill it with anything and switches to other goals, instead of overcoming it, they leave. And they won't be able to achieve anything anywhere because such a person experiences intervals everywhere in other spheres. No matter what they do, no matter what they start.
The disciples became worried. The question hit the nail on the head. Many regretted that not all whose successes on the spiritual path were so inspiring are with the master now.
At first, everything goes well. A person moves on with enthusiasm, and then suddenly, an interval appears. And here, we must overcome it, overcome with understanding. Understanding that we made a decision to do this for a long time. If a person has not developed an understanding that one must constantly, spiritually develop, nothing good will happen in their life. Just they meet grinder and suffering in life.
The keeper sensed an emotional impulse from one of the conductors who led many new disciples, pulling living souls out of the depths of life. It was Ildar. He shared his experience with compassion.
Yes, Master, we constantly see this. If a person has not developed a firm decision to follow the spiritual path, when they do something only on emotions, then it is unreliable because emotions change very quickly, and after their disappearance, a person is completely lost. Does this happen because one has not developed understanding or made a decision? It turns out they received an emotional impulse. They run after it in one direction. Then they catch another impulse. They run in another direction.
Of course,
confirmed the keeper of knowledge.
When there is no understanding and determination, these different impulses push a person in different directions, like a dummy, and they can't reach anywhere. Therefore, you must make a decision. Have an understanding. Then, in case of an emotional failure, the decision and understanding will fill the interval. This is the only way to pass it. It is important to form this understanding, try to understand, and make strong decisions. Otherwise, everything can fall apart very quickly.
Master, is it possible to avoid this interval altogether, or prepare for it? For example, you know that you will have an aspect in such and such a month, and you cultivate the tuning. We are told that the tuning is the most important thing. Or is it useless? And no matter how you prepare, no matter how you tune, you still don't know which part will be activated?
Asked Linda, who spoke at the beginning of the conversation, reading Alice's letter.
Yes, Linda. Intervals in our lives repeat themselves. It's important to prepare for them. Remember what state you were in during the previous interval, what thoughts and what feelings, and then you will understand what to do. You must not give in to emotions. You cannot succumb to negative thoughts. The main thing is to cultivate determination and understanding. Keep acting and practicing spirituality, no matter what. And then the interval will be overcome because the person was prepared for it in advance. If a person is enthusiastic, joyful, and excited, moving towards development without realizing that an interval awaits them, when it arrives, they will be in a state of loss. They won't know what to do because they acted on emotions, which led them in a certain direction.
The keeper of knowledge, depicting a person moving on impulse, took a step to the left.
Emotions ran out, and the person became completely lost. Other emotions arose and led them in another direction.
The master stepped to the right, shaking his head, showing how emotions toss a person around, and they are led by them, unable to resist.
They went in another direction like a pawn because they were not prepared for anything. Because there was no understanding, no decision made. Failure, interval, emotions, can push such a person in any direction.
The audience, observing the master, realized that essentially he was showing themselves in moments of confusion. Seeing themselves from the outside, men and women were horrified at how susceptible they were and felt gratitude to the keeper for showing them the path, the way out of this emotional whirlpool, and the questions that many planned to ask him about how they try to cope with themselves, their thoughts, their low emotions, fell away by themselves. Here it is, the solution. Seeing understanding and gratitude in their eyes, the master directed energy of support. He was immensely glad that his words reached their hearts. Seeing someone in the distance wanting to ask a question, he rose from his seat and approached the disciple.
Master, please tell us how to properly prepare for aspects.
A short-haired man of Eastern appearance, dressed in military style, requested permission to ask the next question. His thick black eyebrows, prominent chin, and powerful figure in general betrayed a strong-willed personality.
You said they constantly come and there's nowhere to escape from them. You can only prepare wisely. I understand that we look at the black spots on our nails precisely for this. Please tell me. Maybe there are other ways to mobilize and lay a strong program, a foundation on good aspects, so as not to fail in negativity later.
On good aspects, Georg, you need to tune in correctly, do more spiritual practices and repentance, pray, creating a benevolent field around you.
The keeper spread his arms, showing the vastness of this field.
Then it will be easier to go through the negative aspect.
Indeed, at the master's gesture, this benevolent field arose, such as exists in monasteries, during services, during rituals. The energy that the master gave immersed the listeners in the space of light and love.
Master, I have a question about Zombie FM.
A slender young man named Dan joined the conversation, resembling a rapper. He was dressed in colorful, fashionable clothes. Instead of hair, he had dreadlocks, but for the gathering, he neatly tied them into a ponytail and hid them under a black and white cap.
I have periods when I don't feel this influence at all, but then such a moment always comes, especially during the periods of God's exams.
A sad smile flickered on the smiling face of the young man.
When these zombifying voices, which I didn't notice before, become very clear, how do I get rid of this constant buzzing? Do I need to, as you advised before, exaggerate every situation?
It was clear that the young listener sincerely tried to find an answer in a difficult topic for him. His eyes, looking at the master with hope, spoke about it.
Yes, Dan, you have to ridicule all this nonsense that ignorant people instilled in us. Take it and exaggerate all this lie. You can do it.
The master encouraged him with a smile.
If you don't take seriously the nonsense you hear in your head.
Keeper tapped his finger in the air, pretending to touch the head of the young man.
Then you will be freed from it.
I will try.
The young man responded, and repeating the gesture of the Great One, touched his cap with his palm, amusing the master, who meanwhile continued to explain how to deal with voices in one's head.
And if we start to delve into the nonsense spinning in our heads, then we fall into the trap of zombie programs, and they begin to take us over. So if you hear something in your head, laugh, exaggerate, send all these voices to larvae. And here we are back to a normal state.
The master smiled at the disciple, seeing how he was delighted to send zombie programs away.
Master, during intervals, I felt heaviness in my chest, and I couldn't ignite my emotions.
Lucia was active today and decided on another question.
Now they manifest as tears and pity for myself.
The woman's eyebrows furrowed and her face resembled the face of a 3-year-old child.
And at that very moment, I can't exaggerate it. But I noticed that these emotions accumulate first, then they end on their own. Why does this happen?
Emotion cannot last long, Lucia. It lasts for some time, and then it ceases. After a while, it may resurface, and it's good that emotions have their own duration. Otherwise, imagine, Some emotion captures us, let's say, a negative one. The disciple vividly imagined it, her brows furrowed and her mouth twisted. But we can't experience it for the rest of our lives. It doesn't happen. It lasts for a while and then it stops. And a good emotion also has a duration, and then it ends, replaced by another. When understanding is formed within us, that's when we progress on our path. In this case, nothing can stop us. But if we only live based on emotions, they will push us in different directions. And we, like senseless sheep, will go here and there. We must have solution. Then we will go in the right direction.
The keeper of knowledge approached Lucia, embracing her with energy, which relaxed her facial expression, and put her mind in order. Her eyes sparkled, and she once again turned into a lovely woman. Seeing such transformations, those surrounding him saw with their own eyes that in the words of the keeper lies the truth.
Great one. It seems to me that the letter we heard at the beginning of the conversation was written based on emotions, on inspiration, but the person still doesn't have a decision to overcome difficulties, to make efforts. Am I right in understanding that as long as a person has only emotions, they have an illusion of spiritual development and they don't fully understand what it really is, right?
This question was asked by a red-haired, green-eyed Mila sitting near the window. This young woman, whose appearance and behavior indicated that she belonged to those referred to in society as businesswomen, was always bright, active, and determined.
Mila, it's important here that Alice had a surge of emotions. Insight occurred. The girl sees that she's not in control of herself, and that without a master, she won't be able to control herself. It means she'll be controlled by some track that her parents built for her, from zombie programs, templates, and stereotypes. And Alice realizes that she can't get out of it herself. She understood that she's the result of a confluence of circumstances and implanted crazy desires, suggestions, and imitations of ignorant people. The insight that only the master can pull her out of the bottom of society. That's valuable. It's valuable that such insight arose from elevated emotions.
Thank you, Keeper. I understand now. And how to keep the decision itself?
Apparently, Mila, whose character was always to go all the way, leaving no unclear questions, wanted to fully understand today's topic.
I'll tell you about myself. In one part, I make a decision. It seems to me that it's total, complete. I want to. And then my parts change, and this decision disappears. Maybe I need to repeat it more often during spiritual practices. For example, on a bell? Will it help to make it a decision for all my parts?
Of course, you need to constantly repeat it. Because if we made a decision a month ago and don't repeat it, then we forget about it. Repetition strengthens understanding. When a person decides what they will do, they must constantly repeat it. Then the decision will be strong. Otherwise, they messed something up and then forgot about it. The decision starts to weaken when it's not repeated and not reinforced by emotions. It starts to weaken and the person forgets about it. So Mila and all my dear disciples seeking knowledge, we repeat. We strengthen the decision with emotions. Therefore, if we repeat something, it becomes strong within us. What if we remembered well that which we've recalled many times? And what we never remembered, our memory forgets. The more often we remember, the stronger we absorb it. Dan, you still have a question, it seems.
The keeper of knowledge noticed that the young rapper still had questions about what he didn't understand. He kept raising his hand, then lowering it.
Yes, thank you, Master. I was hesitant. So much attention is given to me today. So, to make a decision, insight is needed, which, essentially, is equivalent to understanding. And truth is revealed at the level at which a person is currently on.
So, based on this understanding, can a decision be made? For example, to come to the school again, stay longer, then stay completely, and so on?
Of course, that's why it's necessary to constantly cultivate elevated emotions. Then insight will come again at its peak. If such self-improvement is going on, similar insights will constantly occur. And if a person doesn't cultivate elevated emotions, doesn't try to understand something, work on oneself, then insights won't come to them.
Master, thank you, Great One.
Dan smiled. He was glad he figured it out.
I understand. Insight is constantly needed because we change. And the insight that was before no longer works. And at every level, constant insights are needed to constantly have new understandings. And so, step by step, we go and go support ourselves, make decisions, and come closer to ourselves.
By asking questions, you dispel your doubts and help yourself understand the intentions of higher powers. So I'm only glad for your raised hands.
The master nodded to the woman who had long wanted to ask something.
Master, thank you. I also have a question on this topic. I really want to understand.
This time, the question was asked by a curly brunette Maria, a large young woman of 45. She was dressed in jeans and a sports jacket. She didn't like to wear makeup or jewelry. A mother of many children. Sometimes she came to the school with her husband and teenage children, but this time she was alone.
Yes, Maria. That's why I'm here. To help you understand the truth.
The keeper gently supported the woman. Maria smiled and continued.
But for insight, not only elevated emotions are needed, but also experience, isn't it? If a person has been here, seen the master, and the truth immediately became clear to them, that happens too, right?
Yes, it happens. Saw the master. An impression was formed. Saw the ashram. An impression was formed. Listening to the master's speeches received an emotion. It gave insight. But when a person doesn't perceive deeply and seriously enough, elevated emotions won't arise for them. An insight won't arise either. Superficial impressions won't give rise to elevated emotions. And insight won't come. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes! Great one! About leaving only some superficial worldly impressions. But essentially, the person didn't understand anything. Where he was. What was happening there. Thank you for the clarification. But I'm interested in another important question. About decisions.
The disciple continued the dialogue.
There are decisions that are made for a long time, but not by means of enlightenment, but by means of understanding. For example, the spiritual part or conscience begins to speak to you. At first, you ignore it, put it off, then it starts speaking louder and louder. In the end, you make a decision, for example, to repent. But such a decision requires time. What does it depend on? How long does it take for this impulse to come? I say you, but honestly, I'm asking about myself.
Maria blushed slightly. Those sitting nearby supported her with their looks, showing that her topic was close to them. And the young, long-haired, blue-eyed youth in a white spacious robe, resembling a poet, decided to verbally support and even stood up from his seat, asking a question.
Great one. May I join Maria's question?
He said, briskly.
I've noticed in myself, too, that sometimes the decision to repent is instantaneous. I'm a thief. Why did I do this? But sometimes the courage to do it doesn't come right away. The decision comes later. You talk to your conscience, to your spiritual part, until a critical mass accumulates. That's it. I can't take it anymore. I must repent. What does it depend on?
Maria, Alex, I'll answer both of you right away. It all depends on the mindset. If the mindset for repentance is strong, then the person will indeed repent. But if it's weak, then it's lacking, some stronger emotions take over. The person thinks, how can I repent if others are doing wrong? That one offended me, another said something wrong. Have you ever felt like this?
The keeper addressed those around him. After a short pause, voices were heard.
We do.
Yeah, negative emotions prevent repentance.
The Keeper of Knowledge saw from their faces how many insights today's meeting brought. How many men and women approached the truth, and their hearts opened to repentance.
By listening to them, we think a lot about ourselves.
Continuing to send a wave of warmth into the hall, the Master continued.
And it becomes a buffer. Because repentance means parting with negativity, a person clings to foolishness and doesn't want to part with it. How can I part with offense? How can I let go of negative thoughts? They hold on to them tightly. That's why it's difficult. The more a person accumulates a desire to repent, the weaker these parts become, and only then can he repent. As long as attachment to negativity and selfishness is strong, repentance is difficult. How can I live without the offense? How can I live without it? No, it's impossible. How can I leave my negativity? Repent. How can I destroy my selfishness? No, I'll remain a thorough egoist. That's why it's very difficult for a person to repent. Because repentance contradicts the moods they cultivated before.
Thank you, Keeper. I understand.
Blonde Alex bowed to the Keeper.
If we cultivate wrong moods, repentance will be difficult for us. It's important to give up selfishness, let go of envy, stop clinging to offenses and other foolishness. I'll repent. Tune in to repentance from the very morning, as you taught before. And throughout the day, at the slightest thing, I'll repent too. It'll be easy with the morning mood.
Thank you, Master.
Maria folded her hands in a namaste gesture.
Thank you, but only...
The woman hesitated a little, but pulling herself together, continued.
Sometimes it seems like I want to repent, surrender completely. But then I'm immediately overwhelmed by a strong fear of consequences. What will happen next? And this uncertainty scares me. And so I waste time and still can't repent. What should I do?
On the contrary, Maria, everyone will rejoice for you if you repent. Open up, right?
The Master shifted his gaze from the girl to the gathered disciples. The hall nodded approvingly, and the woman who had asked many questions at today's meeting finally realized that she was simply afraid to repent. Her ego was holding her back. So she came up with a bunch of questions, engaged in dialogues, and avoided the main issue. Tears welled up in her eyes, and unexpectedly for herself, she burst into tears. Her state of openness and insight resonated with many. Excitement and trembling enveloped the hall. The sage approached the woman with gentle steps and stroked her head.
Even for one repentant sinner, there is joy in heaven. When you repent, everyone will rejoice, understanding that you have taken an important step in your development. But if you, on the contrary, do not repent, then everyone will be saddened.
The Keeper of Knowledge looked at the men and women sitting before him, the young men and women, and rejoiced for them, for their insights, for their tears, for their new steps towards the truth. He continued his speech quietly but energetically.
Why doesn't a person want to evolve, to rid themselves of negativity? What does it serve them to perish in this state? This may be due to situations in their past. For example, once in childhood, a child told adults something, and they punished him for it. And now there is a childlike fear. If I tell now, something bad will happen to me. And that's what keeps the person in this negative state.
Thank you, Great One.
Unexpectedly, from the depths of the arch, rose a humble-looking elderly woman, her black attire and headscarf making her slightly resemble a nun.
I didn't ask a single question today, but I received many answers. Now I have something to think about.
Her face, like many in the hall, was pensive. This was the last presentation for today in this important lecture. It was time to say goodbye and express gratitude. The disciples bowed before their master, and the energy emanating from them was more than 1,000 words. It expressed kindness,
unconditional love, and worship. At the end, at the request of the disciples, the Keeper of Knowledge once again played divine chants for everyone. Angelic music filled the hall. The flow of divine love, hovering in space, penetrated the hearts of men, women, young men, and young women, leaving no room for anything dark, selfish, or unnecessary.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.